You're in for a treat this morning. Our speaker is Dr. George Hillman. He serves as Vice President for Student Life and Dean of Students, Professor of Educational Ministries and Leadership here at DTS. He came to DTS in 2002 with years of pastoral experience in churches and parachurch organizations, both in Texas as well as his home state of Georgia. A graduate of Texas A&M University. That's why I didn't jump on that line to go to the next one. And our sister school over in Fort Worth, Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. He has a passion for education, spiritual formation, and leadership development. He's a rabid college football fan for Georgia and loves good barbecue. He's married to his wife, Jana, and they have one grown daughter who is pursuing a career in the arts. Would you join me in welcoming Dr. George Hillman to our platform?
Well, I knew we had prospective students, so I brought a treat this morning. And no, we're not doing communion. That was five people have asked me this morning. I brought some of the most valuable things I own in my house. These things have incredible worth. I toyed with even bringing them. I thought about having armed guards here. So don't rush the stage when you see these in things of incredible value and of incredible worth. You ready? Okay, I'm just making sure. I know, the gas, try to control yourself. This baseball glove. Let me explain about this baseball glove. This baseball glove is too small for my hand now, but this was my first real baseball glove. Now, I grew up here in the area, and so I was a member of the Junior Texas Rangers, and it has the old original seal there and on the back. And this is one of the most valuable things in my house. It has incredible worth to me. You can't buy this from me, no matter how much you offer. Let me show you something else. This pair of hiking boots that are too small to fit on my feet. Now, these hiking boots, I grew up doing scouts. And if you grew up doing scouts, you maybe have heard of a place called Philmont. It's a place out in New Mexico. And I went hiking out in New Mexico. And the tradition is that you will brand your hiking boots. And so these have the cattle brand from when I went hiking in Philmont. Again, they're too small. They don't fit on my feet anymore. But there's no money in the world that you could pay for these shoes because they are of incredible value and of incredible worth. Number three is this horse. My mother loved Southwestern art. And we, as the siblings, we bought this for her. And to know a little bit about my story, we moved from Georgia back here to Texas in 1998 to help take care of my parents. And my mother had liver cancer, and we got to spend about 2 years with her before she passed away. This is in my office because it reminds me of my mother. This has incredible value and incredible worth, and you can't buy this from me. And this is Potter. Potter's a Webkin. Does anybody remember Webkins? Okay, that was like 10, 15 years ago. I think there were Beanie Babies and then Webkins were next. And you got a little code and you got to log in. This is when virtual reality. And so Potter lived in the web, in the cloud someplace. And we called him Potter because he had a Harry Potter room in the cloud. This was hands down my daughter's favorite stuffed animal. He is British, in case you didn't know this, and he speaks with a British accent in our house, and you cannot imagine the adventures that we had with Potter, the British frog. You can't buy Potter from me, because Potter has incredible value and incredible worth. Now, I showed you, and I said, I would rescue my wife and my daughter, and I'd rescue my dog. But then after that, if I had to go back into the house one more time to get something, it probably is going to be one of these things because they have such incredible value and such incredible worth. Yet if you saw any of these items at a garage sale, you would not give me a nickel for any of these things. See, because part of the thing is value, you kind of determine value. What are the things that you value? What are the things that you think are of worth? Now, you ask that question every single day in your mind of, is it worth it? So let me give you a couple examples. One example, you take your car to the repair shop and the mechanic says, it's gonna cost X amount of dollars to fix this car. And you think in your mind, is this piece of junk worth this amount of money to get it fixed and get it running again? You have to make that judgment call of, is it worth it? Next Saturday, Herman Baxter and Pastor Joe Allen are going to join me on a trip to Mecca, otherwise known as Texas A&M, and we're going to go to a football game. They're going to a football game with two other guys from my church, and we're going to spend all Saturday. I mean, we're piling in a Suburban early in the morning. We're driving down. The game kicks off at 6:30 at night. We're not going to get home till 2 in the morning. Bax has to preach on Sunday, and they're trying to think, is it worth it? Is it worth me giving up an entire Saturday? It's going to be cold. We're going to have bad stadium nachos. Is it worth it to do that? See, the first one, car, thinking about the car, is it worth it? That's about money. Thinking about giving up a Saturday to hang out with me, that is it worth it in the way of time? But let me give you one more, which is it worth it in the way of effort? Now, no one in this room would ever do this. So I'm just speaking hypothetically. But I know as a college student, about this time of the semester, I would dig out the syllabus and I would look at the percentages. Is anybody with me on this one? And you would think, you would look and see how low of a grade could I get on the final and still pull off a C in the class? That's effort. Is it worth me pulling the all-nighter if it's not going to increase me to a B anyway? I'm going to go to bed. Is it worth it based on money? Is it worth it based on time? Is it worth it based on effort? Is it worth it? That's the question we're going to be talking about today. If you got your Bibles, open, swipe, do whatever you need to do to get Revelation chapter 5. You've already sang part of Revelation and what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be in Revelation chapter 5. To get us there, there has to be some background information, and that's in Revelation chapter 4. In Revelation chapter 4, we have John in this mind-blowing experience of seeing worship taking place in the throne room of heaven. And it is a kaleidoscope of colors and sights and sounds. God the Father is sitting on a throne and he is clothed in majesty and in power and he is shining like diamonds and like rubies, and surrounding him is an emerald green rainbow. And before him is a crystal clear sea. God the Father sits on a throne in the middle and he's surrounded by 24 thrones with 24 elders, and they're clothed in stark white robes and golden crowns on their head. God the Father is in the middle on the throne. There's 24 thrones that encircle him, and then inside that circle are four living creatures. John says, I can't even describe these living creatures, but they kind of look like an ox, a lion, a human, and an eagle. And they're covered with eyes. They can see forwards and backwards, and they have six wings. These four living creatures are the worship leaders, and they call out and they say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And in response, these 24 elders, oh, worthy. We're going to camp that word worthy right here. And we're going to come back to it because you're going to hear it over and over and over again. The 24 elders say, worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. This incredible scene of worship sets us up for Revelation chapter 5. So Revelation chapter 5, you have it in front of you, verse 1. It says, then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne, this is God the Father, a scroll written within and on back and sealed with seven seals. This seal, this has seven seals. This is most likely an allusion to a Roman deed or Roman will. It has seven seals. How seals worked is that you would have wax and you would have a ring and you would emboss your ring on the seal. The person doing the embossing is the one with the authority, and the only person who can open the seal is someone else who has equal authority to open it. There's seven seals, and God the Father is holding it in his hands. Verse 2 says, and I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy? Camp the word right here. Who is worthy to open the scroll and break the seals? And no one in heaven and or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. This is a shout across the heavens. This is a mighty angel. It's an open challenge. Does anyone have the worth to do the task that is at hand? And it says that there was no one. There was no one in heaven, no angel, none of the four living creatures, none of the 24 angels, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Solomon, any of the kings, any of the prophets. No one in the Old Testament could open up the seals. No one in heaven of the New Testament. Peter, Paul, Mary, any of the apostles, any of the disciples, any of the followers of Jesus, no one was worthy to open the seal. In heaven, no one in 2,000 years of church history was worthy to open the seal. None of the church fathers, not Martin Luther, not John Calvin, none of the reformers, no evangelist, no missionary. No one was worthy to open the seal. No one on earth was worthy to open the seal. That is no king, no queen, no president, no dictator, no billionaire, no celebrity, no thought leader. No one was worthy to open the seals. And no one under the earth, not Satan himself, none of his legions of demons, and no false god. There is silence because no one is worthy. And John wails. This word here, it is wailing. Because you know why? John is wondering, was it worth it? John is stuck on an island. He has been faithful to Jesus. He is the disciple that Jesus loved. And he's wondering, is it worth it or was everything a lie? See, because if there's no one worthy to open up the seal, you know what happens? Evil wins. If no one's worthy to open up the seal, innocent people suffer. The wrongs never get made right. There's no hope. There's no redemption after this life. There's no promised kingdom to come. And everything John lived for is a lie. Because no one is worthy. But Jesus shows up. Now, you know in Scripture, every single time when Jesus shows up, stuff changes. So continue on in verse 5. It says, and then one of the elders said to me, he said to John, weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals. And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. When Jesus shows up, everything changes, and all eyes are now on Jesus. Every eye in heaven is now on Jesus. You know, this is the Jesus that the prophecies foretold. He's the Lion of Judah. He is the ruler who is going to rule in righteousness. He's here. We've been hearing about him since Genesis. He's here now. He is the root of David. He is the divinic king who will rule forever and ever and bring fruitfulness and bring rest. He's here. This is who we've been waiting for since the beginning of time. And what we see is we don't see a conquering lion. We don't see a conquering ruler. We see a conquering lamb. It says a lamb that was slain. Literally, that's a lamb who was slaughtered. This lamb analogy is used 28 times in Revelation. This is the slaughtered lamb who has come back to life and is now standing in front of all of heaven, showing his worthiness. You know this. The death, burial, and resurrection is the hinge event of all eternity. Without the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have nothing. But because of it, he is worthy. Our salvation and our final triumph of God's cause and God's people over the forces of evil hinges on the slain lamb who has come back from the dead and now rules. This is a conquering lamb. He has seven horns. That shows that he is all powerful. He has seven eyes. That shows that he is all knowing. Jesus is the only one who's worthy in heaven, on the earth, or under the earth. And again, there's that word, worthy. We're going to come back to it in just a second. Keep going, verse 8. It says, then when he, Jesus, had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe, every language, every people, every nation, and you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. There's so much theology that is packed into that little hymn that's right there. The worship that was directly given to God the Father is now given directly to God the Son. And here's that word worthy again. There's five things we're going to see about this worthiness. Jesus is worthy because of his death. See, based on his death, he was slain and he was raised to life again. Jesus is worthy based on his redemption, the redemption of his people through his blood. Third, Jesus is worthy based on his redemption of every tribe, every language, every people, every nation. Jesus is a global Savior. Number four, Jesus is worthy based on his creation of a kingdom and priest of God. You realize that's us? You are now a kingdom and a priest of God. You now have direct access to this throne room because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And number five, Jesus is worthy based on his blessing of his people to rule. And that speaks of a future millennial kingdom, and that speaks of a future new heaven and new earth that you get to be a part of. Is it worth it? It absolutely is. And Jesus is the one who is worthy. Two more verses, we're going to hang on that word worthy. Look at verses 11 and 12. And then I looked and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders, the voice of many angels numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Angels as far as you can see, and in the lexicon of heaven, the word they choose is worthy. Power and might, these are the bookends. Jesus has all of the power. Wealth. Jesus created it all anyway. He owns it all. Jesus brings wisdom. He is all knowing. And as a result of power and wealth and wisdom and might, we give him honor and glory and blessing because he is God. And then we conclude with 13 and 14. And the worship continues to everybody. And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, amen. And the elders fell down and worshiped. Back to my opening illustration. Y'all laughed at Potter. There's no money that you could pay to get Potter, the British frog, out of my hands. Because it's worth it. New students, new prospective students. You're already going to be students. See, I've already gone past there. See, you're here and you're trying to figure out, is this place worth it? Is it worth it? Is it worth the time and the effort and the money to follow God's calling and to come here? It is, but I hope you're finding that out. The rest of you, you know that. That's a question you ask. Is it worth it? Is it worth it? Is Jesus worth it? And he absolutely is. See, here's what happens with power and might. I don't know about you. I like to be the one in charge. I like to be the one that has the power. But Jesus is worth it. Jesus is worth me giving up my power. Jesus is worth giving up my control because he's better at it anyway than I am. Jesus is worthy. Jesus is worth it. With wealth, you know, this is my wallet. This is my money. And Jesus is the creator of it all. It's not my money. It's not my possessions. It's not my stuff. Jesus is worth it. He is worth the sacrifices because he is the owner of it all. Wisdom, power, might, wealth, wisdom. I think I'm pretty smart. I think I've got it all figured out. I think I have God's plans figured out, and I will inform God of what I think the next steps need to be. But Jesus is worth it. Jesus is worth me. He is worthy of me handing my plans to him because I don't have it figured out, because my plans are foolishness compared to the infinite wisdom of God and honor and glory and blessing. I don't know about you. Honor me. Give me the glory. I don't want to give glory to somebody else. I want the glory. Bless me. No. Jesus is worth it. Jesus is worthy of worship with every fiber of my being. Is he worthy? Oh, he's very, very worthy. We're going to conclude with a song from Andrew Peterson. It's a popular song that came out last year, and it comes straight out of this passage. We are singing scripture that comes straight out of this passage. Let me read the verses to you. The chorus, you already know because we just read it in scripture, and we're going to sing it in just a second. He says, do you feel the world is broken? Do you feel the shadows deepen? But do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through? And do you wish that you could see it all made new? We do. Is all creation groaning? Is a new creation coming? Is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst? And is it good that we remind ourselves of this? It is. And does the Father truly love us? Does the Spirit move among us? And does Jesus, our Messiah, hold forever those he loves? And does our God intend to dwell again with us? He does. Is Jesus worthy? Oh, he's so worthy. And because he's worthy, he is worth it.